I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe it, say amen once more.
Amen.
All right, let's continue our teaching today. Today should be the roundoff of our series we've been having titled Power with God. Let's begin today by reading from the book of John chapter 3. The book of John chapter 3. I'm going to read two scriptures to start. First from the book of John. Then I'll read one verse. Maybe I should just refer to it so you don't waste time. From 1 Corinthians. But from the book of John chapter 3, can you just look into your Bibles? Let's read from verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him, that is to Jesus, by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. How do we know that? We know that because no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, therefore, he said, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And the Lord answered in verse 5, he said, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, let's just stop there. Quickly open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to just read one verse here. That's verse 11. Paul said, When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. That is, I thought, I spoke, and I reasoned as a child. He said, When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Now, that's just the verse I want to read there. There was a season, he said, in which I was small. Therefore, I behaved like somebody who was small. But a season comes in which a man grows and attains to maturity. And then he puts away the things that have to do with childhood. Now, I said something when we began to do this series, Power with God. I said, I have children. I have a number of them. I have a small boy who's less than 2 years of age, and I have a boy that's older than that. He's over 6 years of age. I can allow the older boy to carry things that are maybe like glass, all right, delicate. I can actually give him my car keys, tell him to open the door of the car and bring something for me from inside. The reason is because he's old enough to handle that. But I will not give him my car keys to drive. Do you understand what I mean? I won't. I won't travel or come for Bible study and leave him alone in the house to look after his younger ones. I won't do that. That is, there are degrees of power and authority that I will not give to him because he's yet small. Yet, I'm giving him more than I'm giving his younger brother, who I will not allow to carry anything that's of value because he will drop it and spoil it. Now, we said that that's the way it is with God and us, that if we know how to make those discriminations, how much more God in delegating his power to believers? I want us to understand something. That's what I'm trying to explain here. Christianity is not a joke. I think that's what I have preached this season. It is not a feel-good time that God has called us to. There were times when that was good, when they used Kirk Franklin to attract you to come to fellowship. Are you getting my point? And you got there and found that Christians too could dance. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? And therefore, you didn't see any need to go to disco halls, since you could also dance in church anyway. Are you getting my point? There was a time, all right, in which the attractive thing about the gospel of faith was to tell you that God can give you honey if you want honey, that God could make you happy if you are sad. And these things are not lies. Please, I want to emphasize that. It is just that in life, there are things that have to do with childhood, and there are things that have to do with adulthood. The mistake a lot of us made, the way we received the teaching, was that people told us, or we heard it like that, that while we were children, God can allow us to handle the things that had to do with adulthood. So that the power of God will be delegated into our lives, even though we were children. All right? So that we will use it to, you know, start misbehaving. I know I said something, you know, some time ago. I heard myself saying it. I listened to a message that I preached. And really, really true. I remember it when it happened, when I was very young. You know, if you're at home, they serve you food. Do you understand? You know, you have a plate of food and there's meat in it, you know, African food. There's meat, there's fish. It tastes very nice. Is that okay? Yeah, but you know that there's a different taste when they haven't dipped the meat into the soup. You know what I'm saying? Still freshly fried. So when we're young those days, when they are cooking in the kitchen, we used to hang around, hoping that somebody will give you a piece of meat or a piece of fish before they throw it into the soup. So you could taste that freshly fried issue. And that had a very special taste. And I remember very well. I was very young then, but I still remember that I said to myself that when I grow up, I'm going to buy a fridge and load it with freshly fried meat and freshly fried fish. Because I couldn't understand, you know, why life should be lived differently. In fact, I didn't understand why my parents were not going for the things that they had the power and authority to collect and the rest of us had to beg for it. You know, I remember that a few days ago, again, and I realized that now I live in my own house as a lord, you know what I mean? I'm the lord of the house. I bought the fridge. I released money for the buying of meat and fish and hasn't crossed my mind to be going to the fridge. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yoruba has a saying, that's a saying in Western Nigeria, is that the first money you give a child, all he knows to buy with it is, you know, buns and guguru and groundnut and stuff like that. That's childhood. So when we were practicing faith, all right, childhood faith, that's why we thought that all there was to faith was how to get a new this, a new toy, a new that, and we'll come to church and brag our testimonies, all right, surround only the things that we have acquired. Do you get my point? That's childhood. It's not bad. It's not evil. It's just what? Childhood. And Paul said, the time comes in which we put away childish things. We redirect our emphasis in life. We look at what really matters in life, and we don't sit on those things that have to do just with the pleasure of our flesh. And believe me, you, as you grow as a Christian, you will not be able to tolerate it. If somebody were to be preaching to you every day and is trying to tell you that, look, life can just be sweet, 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 sweet. After a while, you are really going to get frustrated with life. Let me tell you something about life. Life without purpose is thoroughly frustrating. The reason why you don't, many of us don't think so yet, is because we have at least one small purpose. That is to come out of poverty. No, I'm telling you, you know, so while you're a young man, all right, you are still praying, reading, studying, you know, trying to get a job just to break out of that cycle of not having enough. But believe me, time will come. You can't help it. Listen, except you sin the special sin. Do you understand what I mean? You cannot help it. You will come into a place in life where you have all that you need. No, that's a matter of fact. You know, I've thought about it seriously. If you locate where you are supposed to be, no, not where now, but what you are supposed to be in life, you will discover that if you are truly a child of God, you can't be poor for life. It's not possible. God will bless you, you will increase. Listen to me. Look, let's leave this issue of trying to break through. Let's forget it. If you locate what you are supposed to be, and especially you find out where you are supposed to be, it's a matter of time. It is not possible. Is that okay? That you will not be comfortable in life. It is not possible. Look, don't preoccupy yourself with it. Don't. No matter how much you plan for wealth in life, you can be poor. Believe me. There's nothing you can do. All right? In fact, you know, I was thinking about the other day. A friend of mine and I were gisting. I said, look. Okay, I think it was in Canada. We were talking. I said, look, except you make a terrible investment. So that's what I want to bring out. That imagine that you went ahead and invested money in selling stuff at toll gates. That's about, some 10 years ago. Shortly after that, Obasanjo became president. He demolished all the toll gates. What are you going to do? I thought about, there's really nothing. Nothing. All right, look at this stock market thing that happened in Nigeria recently. A lot of people made money from stock market. You know that? But for everybody that made money, maybe 20 felt like committing suicide. There were those who sold businesses. This one, that the new CBN governor is really riding it hard with this new with the banks. All the money that they lost, the banks lost money. Because they were willing to lend you money to buy stocks and you drop the certificate as collateral. Everything is not worth anything anymore. I'm not bringing out something. There's really nothing in life, all right, you can use to secure your future. Nothing, nothing. Hear it clearly. Don't just try. You can buy land and then when the government revokes all the sea of O's there and gives you what they assess as the value of the land as a compensation. Now, I'm just saying that one by the way. The truth is that you don't need to focus on how do I secure my future more than to focus on God. And I'm explaining that if, as a child of God, you will not be poor in life. It is not possible except you sin the special sin. You know what I mean? I don't want to discuss that now. I can tell you special sins that people can sin. And God will say, this one, you will never have enough money. Go and check Eli. You know, God did it to Eli. So all your descendants are like, now begging for bread will be their portion. If you don't do the sin of Eli, all right? You know, one of the worst things you can do to yourself in life is to be a hypocrite. Hypocrites are usually punished publicly by God. People won't know why they are being punished. You call yourself a priest. You are sleeping with the women that attend to the tent. You know what I'm going to say? You are in trouble. Are you hearing what I say? You are in what? Trouble. Just avoid those kind of things. And believe me, in life, it's not possible. You will succeed. Did I hear an amen? Yeah. Now, this is what I'm making. So you see that those things are settled. And that's why Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed. He said, leave that for those who don't know God. The fact is that the path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter. Where confusion will come into people's lives is when they are successful in life and they have no idea of the purpose for which they are successful. Why am I here on earth? What am I trying to do with all this success I have acquired? I thank God in the last many months, God has taught me that the Holy Spirit has helped me to understand. Material things don't mean anything. They don't mean anything. You hear what I said? They don't mean anything. So if you have plenty of it, it doesn't mean anything. If you don't have much of it, it doesn't matter. Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. It's childhood Christianity for us to think the mark, all right, that we are doing well is that the abundance of things are being poured into our lives. That's childhood Christianity. It has to do with babyhood. And I'm encouraging us again today, let's forsake those things. They don't matter. One of the things you would do for yourself early in life, mark out your identity. Wherever you walk in life is not the question, but what exactly are you? You know, there's a difference. You ask somebody, what are you? Is it, I'm a banker. I say, what does that mean? It means I work in a bank. Now, everybody works in a bank. You know what I mean? Everybody works in a bank. The security man at the gate works in the bank. The manager works in a bank. The man in charge of their IT, the computer specialist there, works in the bank. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Whatever you do in life, one of the things you must do is to identify what it is that God has called you to contribute into life. Because life without purpose is very frustrating. The money that you are chasing today, I prophesied it earlier, because as a matter of fact, you will get so much of it, you will get tired of it. That's when you now wake up and say, what is it that really I am doing? I'm bringing out something here. So you see, childhood Christianity is when we focus on those money I have, my faith gets me this, it doesn't get me that, and all of that. Paul said, there's a time where a man gets to, and he has to indeed, all right, wake up and go beyond those levels in life. Now, so what is the matter of maturity? I was talking about power with God, that is the one that Jesus referred to, and that's what we've been talking about. See, something happened. The power of God was demonstrated in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So much that Nicodemus came to him and came to ask him how that was. Please, I want you to understand something here. Nicodemus had a reason. It was because he noticed that the life of Jesus was different. He had command, now listen to this, of the power of God. That was what Nicodemus noticed. And that was why he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, God doesn't give that kind of power that he gave to Jesus Christ, all right, to children. I want you to understand that. He doesn't give it to children. Listen, I'm going to explain something, continuing from where we stopped last time, about this focus in life, what we are really going after. Now, God doesn't give that kind of power to children. Those days, you know, we thought, there was something I was reading, I think Andrew Murray was saying something. I was reading a book this afternoon, all right, by Andrew Murray. And he explained that every priest in Israel was born a priest. You know that? But he couldn't serve as a priest until he was consecrated into priesthood. Do you follow the point? You gave birth to him as a priest, but for him to serve as a priest, he had to be consecrated. He had to attain to a particular age, and certain ceremonies had to be performed for him to serve as a priest. Now, in the same manner, you may be born a child of God. As many as have received him, to them he gave the power to be called children of God. That's what he gave them, the birth as a priest. But the ability to serve as a priest is dependent upon what they do with their lives, so that they can get to a particular point in time that God will look and say, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Please, I hope you are following what I'm explaining. Please, try and follow me. Because one of the mistakes we make is that we don't know how to judge the experiences of our life. I said that before, and I want to just explain it again. You know, last time I said this, that what is it exactly that you are going after? All right? What is it that we are chasing in life? Are we running after what everybody else is running after? That is, the Bible talks about godliness. Paul says, some say it is a means of gain. But that godliness with contentment, all right, is a different matter. That, listen, godliness that we do so as to get rich is not godliness with contentment. One of the problems in this life, all right, which I want Christians to understand, is that we have misinterpreted the purpose of our Christianity. We think that the unbeliever uses crooked means to build a house. We too can build a house using righteous means. Now, that is actually true. You can get everything that the unbeliever gets in life using righteous means. Do you understand my point? But the reason why you are doing righteousness is not so that you can get what he's getting. Please, do you get my point? If I get there again, I hope you won't be angry. That is why, please, deliver yourself from giving to get. Christians give for giving's sake. Are you getting my point? Christians give because they are supposed to give. Christians give because God gave them money so that through that they can do his will, either in feeding themselves, in feeding their families, in helping the needy, in preaching the gospel, all right, in servicing the priesthood, whatever it is. God gave it to them so they do the will of God. They are not trying to use the godliness so as to get something back. Please, do you understand my point? Now, I said something that to serve as a priest, you had to grow and be consecrated. Even though you were born a child of God, to function like the Lord Jesus, so that one day a Nicodemus will look. Let me tell you something. I said this before to us here. That when Jesus cursed the tree, I don't think he was cursing the tree like trying to curse the tree. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. That's what I think. I may be wrong, but that's what I think. I don't think he looked like, he said, this tree, I will show you who is in charge. Move back. Peter, don't cross. So I'm about to release a bolt. May not jam you by chance. All right? I don't think that's what happened. I think what happened was that he looked at a tree and passed a comment. I don't know whether you understand my point. Because I don't think he went out in the day attacking trees. Today is, you know, climate control, or we're going to do some horticulturing today. You know what I'm saying? I don't think so. I think he actually was just going. I know the way it is. You're just going on the road. You just see a tree. Ah, let's harvest some mango and eat. And you look at the mango tree. Ah, come, there's nothing on this tree. And you just pass a simple comment. The way you and I will pass the comment. Nonsense tree. You know, we do that all the time. And I just say, this tree, it no go better for you. You know that kind of thing? Now, that's what I think. That is what I think. I don't think it was that he just made up his mind that, this tree, you want to embarrass a man of God. I am going to show you that I have charge on this earth. The Bible says that be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. I have dominion. God has given. What that shout? It's a shout of man when God now power working on his side. Are you getting the point I'm making? Yes. That's a shout of a man that doesn't have the power. So I believe that he just looked at the tree and essentially casually just said, ha, nonsense tree. What is he doing here, Seth? This tree, no go better for you. And he left. I believe that if they had not come back that way, no, listen to this. If even though they came back that way, if Peter had not taken time out to point it across to him, I don't think he would have noticed. I think he would have just kept on going. It was Peter that said, hey, everybody slow down. Hold the phone. Wait, slow down. Press brake. James, you are driving too fast. We got to see this. He said what? He said, Master, look at what? That tree where you swear for yesterday, like we say, is dead. Then he now used that opportunity to begin to teach them. Let me bring out the point I'm trying to make here. That was the kind of thing that Nicodemus saw that made him come to ask questions. Do you get my point? That is, he had become a part of him. Listen, God doesn't give such powers to people who will be cursing drivers on the road as they are driving. You will kill the whole of Enugu. You know, you and I, we've done it now. As they are driving on the road, one driver just going to say, look at this stupid driver with his nonsense car. As you say it, if Jesus said that, that man's brain has just become twisted, and that car, look, the car will never be normal again in its life. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? But how did he get to that point? Please listen to this, though. How did he get to that point? It was that Jesus, God looked and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now listen, that comment did not come because of the circumstances around his birth. That comment did not come, listen to this, because God looked at him as a child and he loved him. No. That comment came as a result of testing. That comment came as a result of the way he handled temptations. Let me say something to you about the scriptures. When the Bible says things, oftentimes it's just a window into a bigger picture. What I mean is this. If you heard that Jesus was tempted once, three temptations, don't think that's all the temptation that he faced. Those three temptations were just a summary of the problems that you and I will face every day in life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. John said these are the three things that are in the world. From the time he was young, he was facing the lust of the flesh, he was facing the lust of the eyes, and he was facing the pride of life. Those were the three things that he faced every day. When the temptations were shown to us, it was to let us know the kind of thing that he had to face up to that particular point in time. So when God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased, it's not something, it wasn't out of favoritism. I just like this guy. I don't like this one. I like the other guy. No. It's more of, I have put all of them through tests. And this guy has come out on top. Are you getting the point I'm making? I'm coming back to something. Remember I talked about our focus in life. The mistake we make is that we think that God is looking for the man who can make the biggest amount of money and then sponsor the gospel. I told you, let me tell you something. There's a principle called breaking of ranks in the Bible, all right? You need to understand it. If you, as a preacher, let's say Pastor Banky leaves preaching now and decides that, well, I'm going to make money to sponsor the gospel. Do you get what I'm saying? Every naira I give towards sponsorship of the gospel is a sin. Did you hear that? Every naira I acquire, which I say, now this is for sponsoring the gospel, as I give it, it is recorded in heaven as an act of iniquity. You can do what is right, and God says it's like filthy rags in my sight. However, if I got up and I preached the gospel, then it will be marked as an act of righteousness. That's why last time I emphasized that God didn't call you to save the world. He called you to do the will of the Father. The Father knows how he's saving the world. Are you getting my point? Because you that thought you were doing good in sponsoring the gospel, you were supposed to preach that gospel. Therefore, you have made yourself an avenue of sponsoring something that's not effective. That's why it's an act of iniquity. That's why in life, you have to be very, very careful. I'm talking about things that have to do with maturity. Look, this is how it is. Jesus went through all the tests of life, and the time came that God looked and said, "This is my beloved son." And then he committed something to him. What I'm bringing out is this. The test of your life, this is what I say we made a mistake, is that maybe you are in the midst of lack. Do you get my point? And you think that God is saying, now, let's do something so as to come out of this need and get more money. But God said, no, this is my, how do I say it now? This is my son who I'm trying to beloved. Good. And the process of beloving him is in how he handles the issue of lack of money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is, listen, I told you something yesterday, last time, and I want to say it again. We used to think, and I'm so, oh God, those are childhood things. Now we're dealing with maturity. You know, maybe you go somewhere, they park cars outside. Say, identify the car of a child of God here. Listen, there is no way recorded in the scripture to identify the car of a child of God. None. See, Jesus always had money. Let me tell you something about Jesus Christ there. It's a very, look, was a normal person. When I say normal is that, he was not for me. He didn't use to demonstrate, you know. He never healed except people were sick. Do you get my point? He won't go and just make somebody sick so as to heal him so he can show that insabi. When he told Peter to go and fish so as to get money, you know, you want to know the truth? He said, Peter, how much is it with the O? Thanks for putting us in trouble. Peter said, the certain amount. You get for there? He said, Master. No, Judas, you know. Last week was accounting day, and Judas claimed that the last crusade finished the whole money. And Jesus, well, he didn't have a purse with him, all right? He didn't have a money belt. So he looked around and said, okay, all right, good. You know what you're going to do? To settle this debt immediately, take a hook. Quickly go and fish. You will catch a fish. It has something in its mouth. Listen to me. Oh God, hear this. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God has given you enough resources to solve all the problems you have today. Listen, look into your life very well. If you have needs you can't meet, the truth, you want to hear this, is that you have identified a need you really don't have, or you have not looked to find out where God put the resources. God doesn't lie. Let me tell you, a lot of the needs in your life were generated by you. God didn't send it into your life. Did you hear what I said? Look, you know the reason why America and the rest of the world are in trouble now? Because they learned to generate needs they didn't have. They learned it. Generate needs you don't have. So a young man leaves school, or he's just working, and he has 3 credit cards. You know what they call credit cards? People don't understand. It means I don't have money. Pay for me, I pay you later. That's what is called a credit card. And the credit card companies are wicked lenders. You know the interest rate on those things? They're supposed to be short-term loans. Their interest rates can hit 40% per annum. No, I'm not joking about that. I'm serious. I'm not talking Nigeria and America. Yeah. You know why? They expected it to pay back within a month or two. And in fact, they don't charge you anything if you pay back within a month. You buy something for $500. Before 30 days, you've paid back the $500. You don't get charged. But like Joyce Meyer said, they know most people don't pay. I think 70% of people don't pay within their agreed time. You hear them, buy now, pay next year. 70% won't pay next year. They'll tell you no interest until next year. What they don't tell you is that when you don't pay until that next year, the interest starts counting today, not next year. This was evil. If I, like my friend Peter called me the other day from London, he said, "Banky, the thing say Nigerians love money." He said, "You never see a Yoruba man we like money." He said, "Those guys love money more than Nigerians." Anyway, let me not digress. The point is that people get into those kind of troubles most of the time because they have needs that they generated themselves. You have a 21-inch tube television. No, it's not enough. Ever since you visited your friend and you saw his 72-inch plasma TV on the wall, your soul lost peace since that day. And of course, there are Satans walking around that want to put you in bondage. So they walk up to you and say, "Bonanza, bonanza. Sale, sale. I've never seen you in bush shop. We not get sale. Recommended retail price. Manufacturer's recommended retail price, $750. Our price, $350. You know, I be thief." Half five. All those are on Hawaii. Now, what I'm trying to explain, you now go and take it. Then, of course, there are many Satans along the line. That is the first level of Satan. Another agent of Satan along the line is when you're a Christian. He's called preacher. There are some preachers like that. Credit card canceling miracle. Your credit card debt shall vanish today. Amen. Hey, God. Those who have sense know that this is Hawaii. Then why are you deceiving people now? You didn't ask the man, how did he enter into debt? The television on his wall. Tell him to go and sell it. All his debts will vanish. He's watching a 72-inch plasma TV. He can't afford. Look, I'm digressing. Let me sit on my message. Let me sit there. So Jesus, all right, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When he sent Peter to go and get that fish and that money, believe me, there was no money on them then. That was the reason. He wasn't trying to do James Bond. The fact was that there was no money on them. I'm going to bring out something. Every situation in your life, is that okay? God is not trying to compete with who's the believer, who's the unbeliever. What he's developing in you, are you hearing me? Is different from what he's developing in the unbeliever. The situations of your life, all right, are the very things he's using to bring forth sonship out of you. That's what I'm going to explain. Where was Joseph? Prison. According to our gospel these days, why should you go to jail? It is not that the man went to jail that is a problem or that the matter. The matter was that he went to jail unjustly. I don't know whether I get the point. What is the mark of a child of a covenant? Is that when we come to visit you in prison, he say, bro, they say money lost. He said, yes, now so. Now for your hand, he say, I swear by Almighty God, it's not. So this your jailness today, you did not buy it with your own hands. He said, no. Are you sure? Yes. So we join hands and give God thanks and pray that you be released. All right? And we leave. For every day you stay in that place, believe me, is the will of God. The one that's not the will of God is this. Bro, what did happen? It wasn't my fault, though. The man said, I should just hold the money for him small. That I can be taking 10%. You know, did you not know it was stolen? Well, we felt we know when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse of all unrighteousness. Pastor, look, I won't lie to you, Pastor. Actually, as soon as I collected the money, the first 20%, all right, you know, God wanted 10. I brought 20. You can't remember that particular day that there was this kind of check. Yes, it was that money. Are you getting my point? That is the one that is the will of Satan. Do you get my point? Even that one said, God can work out his will in your life through that jail experience. As long as you repent. In fact, there was one I saw once, I think it was Discovery Channel, or National Geographic. If I want some pastors in America. America is a nice country. I love that country. These pastors were collecting money from church members that God is going to bless them one day. People were clearing their life savings and dumping. They say, as you give this money, God will increase that. You know, they at the point that they came to invest in, is it diamond mine in Sierra Leone or something? They show clips of it. Say some people are giving up. God is about to soon bless us. They were just collecting everybody's retirement, everything, Finally, one day, FBI said, it's enough. Where the money? They don't even know. The money don't finish. The boys don't spend the thing anyhow. I mean, they claim that people gave willingly. No, if you heard the story, you were selling an investment. So God just collected all of them, rounded them up, and put them in jail. They are there till today. All of them are still in prison as we are talking. And they phoned one of the men to make that program. And he said that he did what was best for the people of God and all of that. He said, bro, never repent. This bro, he never repent. Jim Baker repented. 5 years he was out of the place. This one, we rot in jail. He has not repented. No, this one hasn't repented. I want to explain. Now listen, this is the believer's life, like Joseph. Okay, I'm in prison now. Do you understand my point? It is not that I'm inferior to the unbelievers walking free, but what God is using prison to birth in my life, he can never imagine it in 50 generations. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? What God is using, the fact that I don't have a job right now to birth in my life, the unbeliever that works 15 jobs at a time can never achieve it. Do you follow the point? This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. I want to commit power into his hands so that if he were to casually, all right, maybe he goes back into business and looks at the filling station and says, why are you people cheating people? All these are useless pumps when they take cheat people. That's it. All the pumps start malfunctioning after that day. And one of his co-workers will say, okay, those pumps you called useless. You know, they are really useless. That's the way it will come. They may not stop you like Peter and say, the tree you call cursed has died. Some of your people come and say, okay, you know that place we came last time and we bought fuel. And you said that all these, they are useless pumps. So since that day, that man has changed pumps 10 times. None of them is working properly. Now, please, I hope you are following the point I'm making here. I hope what I'm saying is clear to you. All right? That what God is trying to do, before we go around whining, how come the unbeliever, how come believer is... No, please, get my point. What God is doing in your life is different from what he's doing in somebody else's life. How many people were in jail when Joseph was in jail? I think it was only Joseph, right? No, think about it. Joseph was the only person in jail there. Oh, he wasn't the only one. All right, good. So there were many people in prison. Next question. All of them were in jail justly. All the cases were well investigated. Joseph was not the only person that was in prison. That's the point I wanted to understand. But how many of them came out and became prime minister in Egypt? I'll tell you, only Joseph that we know of. Do you understand the point? What's the point I'm making? There were many people who never went to prison and we never saw again. That is, we didn't know the story of their lives, nothing. All we know about Potiphar is that Joseph used to work for him and he married a nonsense wife. That's all we know about Potiphar. He didn't go to jail, his life didn't amount to anything. So Christianity is not that I never went to jail. I said that, look, the Christianity is that I didn't go to jail because indeed I attempted to sleep with Mrs. Potiphar. That's Christianity. That my arrival there was based on lies. Peter said it's better to suffer unjustly. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Listen, let me tell you something. This is a focus. I said I'll continue today. What is the focus of our lives? A problem we have in contemporary Christianity is that we have made godliness look as if it's a source of gain. And that's what I want you to understand. Godliness is so that God can look at you and say, this is my beloved son. And I'm saying that there is what is godly in every situation of life. That is your job as a believer, to identify that which is godly in every situation of life. Listen, you can say, all my mates entered school 2 years ago, or they got jobs 2 years ago. Listen, in those 2 years of not getting job, there is what is godly to do. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. Look, Christianity, I told you something last time, let me say it again. Today is actually like a recap of everything I've said, so we can bring it to a conclusion. What we have come to in Christianity is not to play and be happy. Do you understand my point? For me, I said it from time. This, for me, is what is important. Because, let me say it again. People are not the same in the eyes of God. I said all the time, when Job was going to be tempted, they killed his servants, and it was called temptation for Job. The man not get wife. Does he not have children? Or the servant, did he not have children? Yet, their death was judged a temptation for Job. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. David sinned, and what happened to the whole of Israel? 70,000 men perished. Even David had to cry and say, God, Abba, Abba. What did they do? The David that sinned, all he was doing was praying. Finally, God stopped killing people as forgiveness for David. No, I don't. When God stopped killing people, it was because he had forgiven David. So if David had not been forgiven, he would keep on killing other people. So I said to myself long ago when I discovered this, it will never happen that we die because of somebody else's sin. Never. And I want to die. Let it be that I sinned. And God said, Banky, because of this thing you have done, I will punish you so much, people will learn lesson from this. I say, yes, sir. Jimmy, now you go punish, not the devil. It is you. No problem. You know, that's what they tell David. They say, David, choose. There are three punishments you will choose from. All right? 3 years of famine, 3 years in the hands of your 3 months in the hands of your enemy, and 3 days in the hands of God. And the guy looked and said, God is merciful. And he was right. Now, what I'm not explaining, I made up my mind, I said, no, God, if you want to punish me, let it be because of my sin.